Good. Well, actually, everyone's just essentially finishing off the crisp as a little afternoon snack during the service. But this is John. And John, you are a debt centre manager in Norwich, is that correct?
I am.
And John, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself? Firstly, how did you come to know Jesus Christ?
I grew up in South East London and went to a congregational church there. I grew up through the Sunday school, as it was then. That's meeting on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday school. Then going to the youth club. And while I was at youth club, my youth club leader gave me a copy of J.B. Phillips. It's a paraphrase of the New Testament. I took it home and left it on my bedside table. A few months later, I don't know why to this day, I picked it up and started reading it, which was why it was given to me in the first place, I assume. And I read it and was absolutely captivated by it and read it all night. And went to see my minister at the time and talked to him about it. And he led me in a prayer of confession and accepting Jesus into my life. And that was a long time ago.
And John, one of the things you're now really involved in is CAP. How did you start to get involved in CAP?
Okay, I was leading a church in Bingley in West Yorkshire, which is next door to Bradford, and a friend of mine asked me if I would like to come with him to see an exciting, in his words, an exciting project that was starting in Bradford. This was in 1998, and I went along to this and went to Jubilee Mill in Bradford, the headquarters of CAP, and it's five stories. It's a five-story building, an ex-woolen mill, a huge building. The inside is just immense, and you go in on the third floor, and I met John Kirby, and funnily enough, last summer I was sharing with him at my first adventure into CAP, and he said, "Do you remember the umbrellas?" And what he meant by that was that one of the things that stuck in my mind when I went in to visit this was that not only were there buckets all round the room, at certain times in the day when it rained, which it does in Bradford quite a lot, they would go to the corners of the room and each get an umbrella and carry on their work and phone calls and working on a computer under an umbrella because the rain was coming through. Remember, this is the third floor, two floors above. Goodness knows what was, they were empty, but don't know, it must have been absolute chaos in there. And I wasn't hugely impressed, to my shame. The vision was huge that John had for this charity, that hundreds of lives would be changed and that it would spread throughout the nation and the world. And it just seemed, in that sort of wet and sort of dreary a bit start, that something amazing that God was going to do would happen. And so in the true spirit of church, I repented of that attitude. I stood in the corner, you know, with sackcloth and ash. I was really, really sorry that I had such a bad attitude and resolved to be better at it, if you like. And so I've been, for the last 20 years now nearly, I've been involved with CAP in many different forms. And it's been so exciting to see something from those humble beginnings flourish by God's grace into something that is now an amazing ministry. Just amazing.
John, you told me you've set up four debt centres over your time. Do you want to tell us a little bit about one of those maybe?
Okay. Being a debt centre manager, that's how it started. I've done four. So picture a seaside town in Devon called Exmouth, a very genteel Victorian seaside town, very popular, on the face of it, very affluent. And I was doing a CAP stand in Tesco's. And many people came and talked to us about CAP because that's what we were promoting. And then this man came over whose name is Phil. And he started to chat to me about CAP, and it turned out that he was the butcher. He was the Tesco's butcher. And so he started to share he had some debts, and so we sorted those debts out. And every time we meet someone, we say to them that God loves you. And helping you out of debt is the way that we demonstrate the love of God in a practical way for you, to see that you're debt free. And so we began to meet him, and he said, "What church do you go to?" And I said which church I went to in Exmouth. And he said, "I'd like to come." So he came along, and he met church members. They were all very friendly towards him. He enjoyed it immensely. And then he began to say, "I want to know something that they have that I haven't." And so began his journey to finding Jesus. Or perhaps theologically the other way around. But at any rate, whatever, he found Jesus, gave his life to the Lord. He's now a church member there, working hard as a befriender for CAP. And there are so many stories that I could tell you about people who have come to know Jesus through this ministry that I have been part of, let alone what the other centres are. And there are now over 600.
John, we all love stories. Could you give us one more story, maybe, of somebody who you have helped out over your time with CAP?
Okay. This is the story of Billy, whom we went to visit him when I was in Blackburn, and went with a befriender from another church. We always go in pairs, and knocked on the door. He lived in a block of flats, and knocked on the door, and... It, you know, in flats, well, perhaps you don't, but it echoes around, it tends to. And then there was silence. So my friend said, "I don't think there's anybody there." So I said, "Well, I've talked to Billy, I'm sure he is there." So I knocked again, and then it was like the prison doors, you know, like in Porridge, where they have these doors clanging. Well, it was the bolts were going back, and the bolt at the bottom of the door, you could see the chain was on, and he opened the door a crack, and I could just see two eyes. And I said, "Hello, Billy, it's John from Christians Against Poverty. We're here to help you with your debts." With that, he slammed the door shut, took off the chain, opened the door, and I was wearing a jacket at the time, and he grabbed hold of my lapel and just pulled me in, and I've got a briefcase and a laptop, and I'm hurtling down the corridor, having him force it, you know, he was really forceful, pulled me in, and then I noticed there was a clumping behind me, and my friend was getting the same treatment. He put me in, and he slammed the door shut, bolts went on, and he came into the room, and he was absolutely so fearful, because he knew that if he opened the door to someone, they would be demanding something from him, something that he didn't have. He didn't have any money. He didn't have anything. He'd lost his job. The benefits hadn't started to come in. He didn't know what to do. He was living on borrowing and using his credit card, and he was being pursued by all sorts of people, phone calls, knocking at the door, day and night. In fact, he went shopping in the middle of the night so that he would be quite sure he wouldn't bump into anybody who would demand something from him. So he came into the room on this time, and he was absolutely shaking. And so we sat him down, and I said to him, "Billy, can we just pray with you for a minute?" And so I just prayed a simple prayer: "Lord Jesus, let your peace reign in this man, Billy, right now. Let your peace come." And he calmed down, and he calmed down, and he opened his eyes, and he said, "What was that?" I said, "That was God. That was God coming to bless you." And so we entered into a sort of, you know, a relationship, helping him out of debt. I invited him to church, and he came along, and on that particular day I was preaching, and I'd been going for about 2 minutes. And lo and behold, Billy got up and went out. And I thought, oh no, you know, you think, "Oh, what have I said?" I quickly looked at my wife, and she didn't have a black look on her face, so I couldn't have said anything too bad. So after the service, I raced round to see what had happened, and the problem was that church was quite a problem. He'd never been in church before. His church for him were buildings like this, but he'd never been inside. He didn't know what a church service was like, and it was just a bit too much for him. So he came to a small group and gradually became more and more interested in the church. We prayed with him and he accepted Jesus into his life. He was born again, and he then came to church services and was happy to. And now he is a church member, and he's working with Christians Against Poverty in Blackburn and Darwin, and on fire for Jesus, just on fire for him. So, so exciting when that happens. So thank you so much for inviting Wendy and I to share with you this evening. And it's a privilege for us to come from Norwich. That's sort of north of here a bit, you know, sort of, you know, wilderness country. So that's where we are. That's where we minister. And the title of this little talk is Make Space for the Poor. Making Space for the Poor. God's love and compassion for the poor is a thread that runs throughout the whole of Scripture. God's love and compassion for the poor. That Isaiah 58 passage is just one of many where God talks about the poor, the homeless, those who are struggling, those who haven't got any food, and promises to bring relief, and promises to bring help. People are struggling to survive physically. They're struggling. I see a new client every week, and I suppose over half of them, when I get to the end of the sort of initial conversation, telling them what CAP is all about, I say to them, how are you doing for food? And it's remarkable. I mean, I'm always shocked by this. When people say, well, you know, and there's a bit of a hesitation, and I say, come on, tell me how you're doing for food. Because we can help you. And so then the truth comes out, and very often, like we were meeting a lady this week, Kerry, and I asked her that question, and she was a bit hesitant. She's got 6 children. She's just coming out of an abusive relationship. She still has the bruises. And she just didn't have any food. And so we were able to take her to buy some food. I took her to a food bank as well, so that she had enough food, so that as we started to work with her, she would have enough money as we got together with her, got the budget together for her to buy food herself. So people are struggling to survive physically, to feed their families, emotionally. You know, the breakup of family life, domestic abuse, which we're finding now so often. I'm just amazed at how often. Elaine, we've just visited 2 weeks ago, who also was just coming out of this abusive relationship, but she was really, really, really not well, and she had mental health issues, of which 5 out of 6 of our clients suffer from. So there is emotional problems, and spiritually, of course, most of these folk, they don't know God as their Heavenly Father. They don't know him. They've heard of him, but that's about as far as it goes. But, and this is what is exciting, there's always hope. And I believe that God is raising up his church to bring hope where there is none. To introduce the concept of hope into people's lives where all they can see is blackness. But a light begins to shine. And hope is beginning to burst forth as they see what CAP can do and to help in all these areas. So what I want us, just in these few minutes, is just to allow God's word to renew our minds as we look at just a few of these God-given challenges to make space for the poor in our thinking, in our theology, and in our treasure. The story of Sodom and Gomorrah, I suppose, is familiar to us all. And maybe we've got different takes on what that was all about. But the prophet Ezekiel seemed to be very clear as to what the problem was. And this is what he says, just this verse. "Now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed and unconcerned." And this is the key. "They did not help the poor and needy. They were haughty and did detestable things before me. Therefore I did away with them, as you have seen." Now that's a hard challenge. One of the early scriptures that was shared with me when I was studying theology at Cambridge, the principal of the college shared this scripture where he said, "John, I think God wants you to know this scripture." It's not that I hadn't heard of it. It's right at the end of the parable of the sheep and the goats, Matthew 25. And Jesus says, "Whatever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me." Now, I know the context of that, he's talking to his disciples. But I would believe that that can be widened to the people of God. "Whatever you do for the least, you're doing it for me," says Jesus. Now, I've lived with that scripture as a challenge to me. I think about it quite often when I'm knocking on the door at somebody's home and not knowing what's going to be behind that door. I'm thinking, I'm praying that scripture, "Whatever we are able to do for these least, we're doing it for Jesus." And not only are we doing it for him, he's there with us. He's there at the door with us. It's a hard challenge. But if we don't help the poor and needy, we are in danger of being arrogant, overfed and unconcerned. The Psalms, the Prophets, Proverbs consistently challenge us to care for the poor. Psalm 82 says, "Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed." And as time has gone by with Christians Against Poverty, the profile has gone up and up and up as God has continued to bless the work that we're doing. And in fact, Life Skills was launched by John Kirby, the founder of our charity, was launched in Westminster not that long ago. I mean, about 18 months, perhaps 2 years ago now. It was launched in Westminster with a group of MPs there, cheering him on to go with this life skills course that is so, so important. We help people with debt, but what happens at the end of that? What happens when they are debt-free? How are they going to manage their money? How are they going to cook their meals? How are they going to buy their food economically? There are certain things we do, but I refer all my clients to a life skills course when they have become debt-free, so that they can learn these essential skills to help them as they go through their life. Proverbs 21, "Whoever shuts their ears to the cry of the poor will also cry out and not be answered." The reading that we just had, Isaiah 58, it says, "Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear." What about us? Is Jesus our mission? Is his mission our mission? Is his purpose our purpose? Proclaiming good news to the poor? Jesus starts his ministry by saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." And what better good news can we share than that God loves whoever it is that we're in front of them, that Jesus died for the person who we're sitting in front of? And you know, they react to that.
How many times we've gone into people's home and the first thing they say to us, will you pray with us? Will you pray with us? They are beginning to recognise, A, that there is a God, and B, that he answers prayer in a way that they can feel and see changing their lives. It's an extraordinary thing. So moving. And what was Paul never to forget as he was commissioned by the church in Jerusalem to take the good news of Jesus into Europe? Was it some piece of doctrine that he shouldn't forget? Some theology that he shouldn't forget? No. He tells us, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor. The very thing I was eager to do. So make space for the poor. Just finally. We are challenged to make space for the poor in our treasure as well. There's a banner over there which says, we are Christians against poverty. Are you? Join 26,000 others who are united against poverty to become a life changer. And it can't run without money. It's one of those unfortunate things, but that it can't. It costs money to have experts and to employ people who can give the best possible advice to our clients. It needs money. And over half of the money that we need is raised by life changers. By people just filling in one of these forms and giving just a little bit of money every month. Just doing that, just £5 a month, will help someone to be lifted out of poverty and maybe come to know Jesus as their Saviour and their Lord. Just that. And all you have to do is put your name, address and telephone number. It couldn't be easier. Don't even have to worry about all the bank details. We'll follow that up. But there's forms on your table. And you are doing a tremendous thing by that. But I've got one thing else. I've got a free gift. Do you know, every time I say that, nothing happens. It's really strange. Usually, I would hope people say, oh, good, you know, sort of a bit of enthusiasm. No, okay. But this is a free gift. It is free. It's the book called Nevertheless. I'm sure some of you will have read it. It's the story of Christians Against Poverty from its start to where it is now. And it's free. Please, you can have a copy of that. Or, if you've read that, there's another free book. Or you can have both. I mean, you know, I don't want to cart them home. This is Journeys of Hope, 12 Lives Changed by God. Really, really interested. You could share this with people and they would be really moved. So we've got some of those as well. You have to be quick before stocks run out. But that's it. Thank you. On behalf of the poor, thank you for starting to do life skills here. It's really, really exciting. I'm speaking in, I don't know, probably three out of four Sundays every month, launching life skills, launching cap money, launching debt centres as this work grows and we see more and more people being blessed. There is always hope, which is our sort of tagline for Christians Against Poverty this year. There is always hope, and you are going to be bringing hope to people for whom at this very moment life seems hopeless. You have that privilege that I have had for all these years. So thank you for inviting me.